And a very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07, and this is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM WBOI. Lots of smiling faces in the studio today, and one of them, of course, belongs to Susan Burns. Susan, good afternoon.
It's my pleasure to be here and to learn today about some safe shopping information we're going to bring you.
That's right. Once or twice a year, we come to you and just with some friendly reminders, really, of how to stay safe during these high dollar seasons. You know, I think we heard on Cyber Monday, folks were spending over $1 billion online.
With a B.
And of course, it was a big weekend for folks to get out to brick and mortar shops as well.
Yeah, I did join a little bit of the crowd, and the stores I chose were not very crowded. So
I could see you camping out at noon on Thursday.
Yeah, no.
In any case, we're talking today about how to stay safe during this season, how to keep your money out of the hands of scammers and flim-flam artists. And we want to hear your stories and your tips today as well. If you've had a strange experience on the phone, perhaps, or you have some tips to share with us, please do give us a call and share those. The number is 260-452-1185. Or you can always call us toll-free, of course, 1-800-471-9265. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters, and we'll do our best to get you on the program. Very special guest with us once again today, Susan.
We do. Every so often, we try and invite the fine people from the Better Business Bureau of Northern Indiana to come join us. And we have one of our favorite fine people, Marjorie Stevens, here. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Her title, it's a really neat title, Sean, is Director of Marketplace Services. And what perfect topic for today and title.
Yeah, absolutely. And Marjorie, we appreciate you being with us on the program once again to help us out here. Now, we mentioned Cyber Monday, we mentioned Black Friday, Cyber Weekend, whatever, all these titles, there are too many. But today is Giving Tuesday. A relatively new moniker to me, but this is the idea where folks take some time to not only spend on themselves, spend on their relatives, but also to give to a nonprofit or a charity in their neck of the woods. A very good cause, of course. Lots of folks in this community are very giving, but when you're dealing with charitable organizations, especially those you might not be familiar with, you do need to be careful.
You do need to be careful, because there are many, many charities out there across the United States. I forget what the count is, but it's absolutely in the hundreds of thousands. So you need to check them out and make sure that they are good charities. So we do have a few tips that we like to share with you. One of them is considering more than what the finances. The BBB, to be a charity that is that we sponsor, or that we that we can vouch for, actually, it's 65% of the money earned should go toward the intended cause. The other 35% should go toward maybe administrative or fundraising fees. If that percentage is higher than 65%, that's even better. We have some charities that actually hit the 95% range. For the intended cause, which is really good. So people need to look at that. And I might add that you can go to bbb.org to get information on a charity. And we have gone to a letter grade, which makes it much easier for people, rather than just a satisfactory or unsatisfactory. It might have an A+, it might have a B, and it gives you a breakdown of what the charity still needs to improve upon or does really well. The other thing is to research before you give. Again, go to our website and get information. You can, maybe your friends do know of a good charity, but we still advise you just to check it out. We can even send you a charity list if you would like for us, the accredited charities by the BBB.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's the Wise Giving Alliance. Isn't that what you kind of call that aspect of Better Business Bureau work?
Okay, the Wise Giving Alliance is actually the what I want to call sort of the executive arm of the charitable giving and the accredited charities. And so we do have a lot of national charities with the Wise Giving, and then we also have our own local charities that we accredit as well.
All right. And one point to consider in this, consider more than finances idea as well, is, a lot of folks, instead of giving money, they'll give of their time as well. So it's a way to potentially avoid some of these issues altogether.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's ways that people can give. If you cannot afford a financial donation, there's some charities that just want gently used clothing. They might need coats. They might need hats. You can always throw in usually a couple of canned foods for people. Mm-hmm. You don't have to give if you don't have it. It's more from your heart as well as from your pocketbook. And I think that people, one thing they need to worry about or think about is the emotional pitches that you can sometimes get. They can be good, but are they for real? And they can really suck you in if... You know, if you're not checking them out and finding out just what they're about.
Yeah. So like you get a phone call from someone and they want you to really, they're really laying it on to give right now while I've got you on the phone. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Exactly. And what we tell people is say, hey, you know, let me check you out. I want to do a little more research on your organization first, and I'll be happy to give you a call. And if they give you a number, you know, maybe that is for real. But there's not really a lot of charities that solicit over the phone, so you just have to really be careful. And there's a lot of charities that can sound very much like a very good, honorable charity. And that's something that you have to watch out for as well.
Yeah. So pay close attention when they give you the name of the charity and maybe
yes.
even write it down.
Phone number, where they're located, and get some background information on them before you just give.
Yeah, great.
Now, we were talking just a moment ago about, not just giving financially, but also a giving of your time or giving goods. But we've even heard this on NPR and on Marketplace recently. A lot of organizations, especially those on the East Coast dealing with recovery from Sandy, are getting goods that they can't use, getting goods that they have to throw out. And so you really have to do your research, not just on the organization itself, but also on what they need.
Absolutely. And I think that that's why there are some very good organizations out there that they say, you know, to give the money to. Maybe you can do it on your, you know, your iPhone, give $10 or $15. They're going to know where to spend the money. They're going to be best suited because they're actually in the middle of the disaster. And it's amazing how many scams take place for Hurricane Sandy or any of the disasters that they have. They don't only hit that area, but they hit across the United States and Canada. We have many, many scams that happen. So, again, people just have to really be careful and watch, you know, who they're giving to.
Well, and that seems like it can be very difficult to guard against because, I mean, this happens with every disaster that comes up in the United States, whether it's, you know, we heard a lot of fraud with Katrina. We've heard a lot going back to 9/11 and I'm sure before. Whenever there's a disaster, you know, people seem to be naturally very giving.
They do. Yeah. And again, that is exactly what, you know, they want people to do, but you've still got to be very careful. You still have to check those charities out. It doesn't take more than 5 minutes to go online. You can access us so simply, and you can find out what charities are really worthwhile. And it goes back like with the storm chasers. A lot of storm chasers right after a bad disaster like Hurricane Sandy. So we just have to really stop. You know, take a step back and think about what we really want to do and who we want to give the money to.
Yeah, what you want to accomplish with that gift.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll get the BBB's website up on our Facebook page as well. So if folks have questions or want to do a little bit of research, they can find you that way as well. It looks like we do have a caller on the line here, though. And, of course, we want you to join the conversation as well. The number is 260-452-1185. Or you can always call us toll-free. That's 1-800-471-9264. Let's open the phones and go to Tom, who's been waiting patiently. Tom, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon. I just want to share with you folks that I've started to receive, and some other people have informed me, they've been receiving text messages saying that your account at your credit union or bank have been compromised and you need to immediately contact them, and that throws up a red flag. I mean, that seems like it's an old scam, but this time of the year, it seems like there's a greater incidence of receiving text message. And in addition to all this, when you're talking about researching, whether it be an organization looking for funds or helping somebody in need, I always go to the Better Business Bureau and research. And I'll tell you, that is the first place that I go. Second place is do a background check on them and then, you know, make an informed decision. But I can't pass these two key points on strongly enough because, you know, knowledge is power, and that's the greatest protection. So I'll just wait for your answer off the air, and thank you for having this topic this morning.
Tom, can I ask you briefly, you seem to suggest that those text messages were plural. Are you getting hit more than once here?
Yeah, actually, and I have a senior citizen. Well, my mother is a senior citizen. She's received a few, and she's limited to what she uses the her text phone, and it's amazing where they can get your information from. So I don't know if it's hacked or how they do it, but I know she knows exactly every person that has her cell phone number, and it's just amazing when she said, well, what's this? And she showed me the text message, and sure enough, it was saying, this is your lending institution. Didn't give a name. It was very vague. And then all of a sudden, you know, contact us immediately. And once you do that, they're going to suck these people in. And I think another thing this time of year that should be stated is they target the elderly, you know, because they're going to be more, okay, trusting, oh, maybe I've got a problem, maybe I did have an overdraft, whatever the case may be. But I've seen on my phone an increase in frequency as well.
Yeah. Well, Tom, we appreciate your call here. Marjorie.
Well, Tom, I just want to, first of all, thank you for being a BBB advocate. I really appreciate it because we are trying to get the word out. You know, just check us out before you buy. As far as the text, I have the same issues. I have an iPhone, and I cannot believe the number of texts that I get with the same type of information you were talking about. Again, I think people just need to, you know, erase it from their phones, delete it from their phones. Don't answer anything that you absolutely, you know, didn't invite, what I want to say, into your home or onto your phone. People just really have to be careful because, you know, the WWW is the World Wide Web, and people have got to know that that's not just things going on here in the United States. It's mostly international. And if your money is gone, they can get your bank routing number or whatever. You'll never recap that money. It is very, very hard to get that money back. So thank you for your tips.
I would like to say one other thing about the Better Business Bureau, and it continues to be my experience, that even though hackers and people come up with, you know, creative ideas to deceive other people out of their funds and their hard-earned money and get access to their information, the best defense is and continues to be the Better Business Bureau, because you're the only organization that I've experienced that realizes that it's a state of flux, that anything can happen, and then you're always staying on top of it. Not 100%, but it's like the old adage, it's better to have some defense than none at all.
And you're right, exactly. And we try our best to stay up with it as much as we possibly can. When we get a call, we check it out. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate your efforts.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday.
Thank you.
You too, Tom. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks. Yeah, and a reminder too, Marjorie, the Better Business Bureau doesn't send emails out to people very often, do you?
No, we don't. We have experienced hacking ourselves, and believe me, it causes us a lot of grief. It causes us a lot of expense from the national who tries to shut these sites down. We try to make sure that people are aware, but sometimes the more you put it out there, the more it happens. But it isn't the Better Business Bureau. It's the FBI. It's the IRS. So all of the good companies, the Fortune 500 companies, are under attack. So people really do need to be careful. And one thing that I like to just say, don't click on links. Don't click on any links. It will probably send a very bad virus through your phone. And through your, I'm sorry, and through your computer as well.
Yeah. And that reminds me, too, before the show, we were sort of going over some of the topics we might talk about. And apparently dialing, or when they call you and there's a number they want you to push in. Tell us a little about that.
Okay. Actually, it's Rachel. And I think everyone has heard more than enough about Rachel from Card Member Services. And a lot of times they'll tell you to press, I think it's one or two. I don't even listen. I just hang up when I hear her coming on because...
Now let's back up just a little bit here because we're talking about folks getting calls from a pre-recorded message from Rachel from this quote-unquote Card Member Services.
Right, and she also has a sister or a cousin, Stephanie. So there's a lot of name-throwing out there, but it usually is Card Member Services. But what I want to say is we used to tell people to engage in the phone call so that they could get information to tell us when they call in to us. We say now, hang up. If you push that button, your number is going to go to a hot list for scammers. So the best defense you can have is just hang up. Don't even listen to them or, you know, blow a whistle in their ear. Whatever.
So you're saying in these scenarios, folks are almost kind of pre-selecting themselves for more scammers to get in touch with them in the future if they don't hang up, if they push one to get to that next bit of information, they're marked.
They are. They really are marked. It's amazing how technology has changed. It's the same way with the Do Not Call list. We have questions often about, you know, why if I'm on the Do Not Call list, you know, do people keep calling? Well, 10 years ago, that worked really well. It's not working so well 10 years later. They are trying to figure out how they can work. People should get on the national do not call list as well as the Indiana Do Not Call list. But do not stay on the phone with anyone from Card Member Services or anyone else or press any type of buttons. It's kind of like clicking on a link in an email. Don't do it.
We're going to take a quick break here, but if any of this sounds familiar to you, if you've had an experience or know somebody who's had an experience like Tom's, give us a call and tell us about it and tell us how you dealt with it. Or if you have any questions or additional comments, maybe some tips to share as well, we'd love to hear them. The number to call, 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264, and you'll get a live person when you call, not Rachel. From Card Member Services. If you'd like, you can also email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. We'll continue the conversation when we get back. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
On Talk of the Nation, we tackle the day's issues and discuss the topics that matter to you. We take the time to explore every angle of a story, and we do it all live with your help. Find out what everyone is talking about. I'm Neil Conan. Tune in and join the conversation next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Been in the kitchen too long? Then it's time to toss a salad of styles, forms, tastes, and timbres. I'm Bob Mayer. I create the salads every Tuesday from 7 to 9 here on 89.1 WBOI. Join in the Jazz Food Fest.
On the next Fresh Air, Yemen, Al-Qaeda, and America's War in Arabia. We talk with Gregory Johnson about his new book, The Last Refuge. It explains the rise, fall, and resurrection of Al-Qaeda in Yemen, which continues to plot attacks against the U.S. Johnson is a former Fulbright Fellow in Yemen and works in the Near Eastern Studies Department at Princeton University. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank,
offering a wide range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and not-for-profit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. More information available at lakecitybank.com.
Good afternoon. It's 12:27, and you're tuned to Midday Matters Financial Focus here on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns for this hour of our program. And joining us in studio for the hour, it's Marjorie Stevens, Director of Marketplace Services. Did I get that right?
You
at the
did.
Better Business Bureau of Northern Indiana. And we're talking today, of course, about how to keep your money safe, from fraudsters, scammers, flim-flammers, whatever word you'd like to use.
Easy for you to say.
Exactly. We want to keep that money in your pocket. And of course, we want to hear your stories as well. If you think you've been contacted by a fraudster in the last few months here, share your story and maybe you can help educate some folks who may not have experienced that yet. The number is 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. I want to talk a little bit more about kind of the retail side of things. We talked about charities and nonprofits, all the research you need to do. I want to get into retail, including brick and mortar and cyber retail in just a moment. But first, we do have a caller on the line. So let's open up the phones and go to Daniel. Daniel, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, good afternoon. So my question is about panhandlers, per se, or the folks that hold signs asking for money or food or whatever. And what are some best strategies for interacting with these people, whether leave them alone or maybe get them food as compared to giving them money, or maybe a list of organizations from which they can get help that are already in the business of helping those people. So, that's the question.
And a very good one, Daniel. Marjorie, I know a lot of folks, especially this time of year, in a giving mood, but it can be a tough decision.
Daniel, there are a lot of charities that people can go to, and I would suggest maybe you carry that list. I know it sounds funny, but carry that list and hand it to the person. Say, here, you know, this is the way I want to help you. There are a lot of charities out there that are willing, you know, soup kitchens, whatever, maybe clothing, anything that the person may need. I am also very wary. Do I give it? Do I not give? You know, you kind of look in the eyes of these people and think, well, you know, I really want to be helpful because I think the percentage of Americans do want to help other people in need. But I think you have to use common sense. I know that some friends that are faced with this, that's exactly what they do. They might go to a nearest McDonald's or whatever and get them a cup of coffee and a sandwich. It's really one of those things that I think it's kind of a personal decision that you have to make, and it's a very difficult, you know, to make. But I think the idea of handing out a charitable list or telling someone where they can go for help, maybe they don't know it, would be a really good idea.
Okay, sure. And I guess along those lines, I did speak with one person who had been to, for instance, the Men's Mission, and they had to let him be back out on the street because he wasn't following the guidelines real well. And then it's like, okay, if they're in that situation, is there any, like, other place they can go? Because otherwise they might just end up in jail, or I don't know. But maybe that's a more difficult scenario.
I think it is probably a difficult scenario because there are rules, you know. I think, like with the Fort Wayne Mission, maybe this is the one I'm probably thinking. There are rules that the residents do have to abide by. And so I guess my question to that is they need to abide to what the rules are if they need the help. If they're seeking out the help, then they need to go by what the rules are.
Right.
Other than that, I don't really know what else you can tell someone.
Okay, sure. Thank you, and That's about all that I have for my inquiry today.
All right. Daniel, very, very good questions, and thank you so much for your call.
Right.
Thank you.
Have a very good day. Of course, I think you hit it on the head there, Marjorie. This is a really personal decision for folks, and it can be very difficult to know.
Absolutely. I mean, I think all of us have faced that situation a few times.
I do want to invite our listeners to join the conversation today. If you have questions or comments, maybe some tips, or you'd like to share your story, the number is 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. It looks like we have another caller on the line. Let's go to Tom on line two. Tom, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon again. I had an afterthought that I forgot to tell you.
Sure.
Sorry.
Welcome back.
Well, hello. It's been such a long time. But one of the greatest defense that we all can utilize within the state of Indiana is the no-call list. And I just wanted to quickly pass that along because anything that you can, between using the Better Business Bureau and anything else that you can accentuate their services, will impede any kind of, we'll say, nasties from getting your information or in your pocketbook. So I just wanted to pass that along as well. And again, happy holidays.
It's a great tips, Tom. Happy holidays. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And for the folks interested in taking advantage of those lists, probably the easiest way for people to get on those lists, Marjorie, is to go online.
You can go online, or we would be happy to send you a list of the charities as well. We will not endorse any one charity because there are a lot of good charities out there. So if you call and say, what do you think about, you know, United Way or Red Cross or whatever, you have to make that decision. So we do not endorse charities. We simply give you a list of good charities that could probably use your money and your donations. Mm.
And for folks interested in the do not call lists, donotcall.gov is the federal registry, and you can find out more about the state list by going to the Indiana Attorney General's website. You can find that at in.gov.
Right. And Sean, I, as you're calling up on the internet screen here in the studio, I just to give you an idea of the battle of wits that this is, I see a little warning sign on the National Do Not Call Registry that says scammers have lately been making calls to suggest that people might want to sign up with them on this phone call on the National Do Not Call Registry.
Marjorie, I mean, I think this is a perfect example of, you know, why we have the Better Business Bureau on several times a year. Folks are always a few steps ahead, and it can be so difficult to tell fact from fiction.
They absolutely are. It is tough, and this is interesting, Susan, that you brought it up, because it does happen. We also have, I can't remember, there was a scam where they were getting a call, and what they wanted, all we need the information is your mother's maiden name, your Social Security number. It's like, no, don't give that information out. And you're right, we are constantly trying to stay ahead. And as soon, if there's a problem that you run into, give someone a call, because I guarantee you, we will check it out and do what we can to help you and find an answer. And while we're talking about cell phone usage and do not call lists, I think every one of us, maybe every 3 or 4 months, we'll get an email that says that our cell phone numbers are going to go public and yada, yada, yada. Not true. So, but we do suggest on the do not call list that you make sure that your cell phone number's on there, that your landline's on there, whatever phone number that you have should be registered with the do not call list. Again, for the national as well as Indiana.
It looks like we have another caller on the line here. One more caller, in fact, before we have to take a break for the news. So let's open the phones and go to Eric. Eric, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share a story. I had a scammer called my grandmother and told her that there was a virus on her computer, and got her to go on and change a bunch of passwords, and she fell for it. So the scammer got a bunch of information from her, but nothing vital, no bank accounts or anything like that. And eventually we went in and changed all the passwords and got everything cleaned out. And she was relatively unaffected by it. But just wanted to kind of share that. Also, that same scammer then called my own house, not my grandmother's, and managed to get me. And I had a brief chat with him about how computer security doesn't really work like that, and they can't change my passwords or help me out.
Wow. Well, and this was something I think we heard about a lot earlier in the year. Folks calling people specifically saying, you know, I'm from tech support, or I'm from Microsoft, or from Apple, wherever. I need to help you with your computer, and they would get lots of information through these seemingly innocent phone calls. Erica, it sounds like a relatively happy outcome. Well done on the talk there as well.
Yeah, it was cathartic.
I believe
could be sure.
We appreciate the call, Eric. Thank you.
Yep. Have a good day.
You too. And Marjorie, again, folks, awfully creative in getting out there and getting those vital bits of information.
Absolutely. And I just want to say one thing to Eric, is that it's not happening just to the elderly. We've had calls from businesses that have been hacked into, individuals, obviously, in their homes. So again, you know, I usually try to tell people, if someone is contacting you to do something, don't fall for it. And that's really hard sometimes, because they can be very, very encouraging and very draw you in. So good for you, Eric. Again, I hope you really gave it to him.
Cathartic sounds like the right word. Thanks again, Eric. Yes. And of course, we want to hear from more of our listeners this hour. If you have a story like Eric's, or maybe a few tips you can share with the rest of our listening audience today, we want to hear it. The number is 260-452-1185, or you can call toll free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at middaymatters. Rachel from Card Member Services will not get in touch with you if you get in touch with us those ways. We do need to take a quick break for the news. We'll keep the conversation going when we get back. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
Hi, I'm John Weber. Joining me on the next Piano Jazz Rising Stars will be the daring Aaron Deal. From classical to stride to swing, this young jazz pianist revels in it all. Don't miss Aaron Deal and me, John Weber, on the next Piano Jazz Rising Stars from NPR Music.
Tuesday nights at 10 here on WBOI.
Even wealthy universities now want more students who can pay their own way. Schools say rising financial aid costs are hurting education quality.
We don't get in a room and say, okay, do we give more aid here, or do we give a raise to our professor over here? But behind the curtain, that's what's happening.
Colleges rethink financial aid later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, Yemen, Al-Qaeda, and America's War in Arabia. We talk with Gregory Johnson about his new book, The Last Refuge. It explains the rise, fall, and resurrection of Al-Qaeda in Yemen, which continues to plot attacks against the U.S. Johnson is a former Fulbright Fellow in Yemen and works in the Near Eastern Studies Department at Princeton University. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah DeLeo with WBOI News. Governor-elect Mike Pence has tapped one of his top campaign aides and a veteran of Governor Mitch Daniels' administration to lead the state's budget office. Pence announced Monday that Chris Atkins would serve as his budget director. Atkins helped Pence draw up his policy proposals on the campaign trail and crafted tax policy with Daniels before joining the campaign. Atkins fills a top post for Pence as the new governor continues building his new administration. Longtime Pence chief of staff Bill Smith is leading the Pence transition team. Atkins is likely to have his hands full working on Pence's first budget submission to state lawmakers and finding support for Pence's proposed personal income tax cut. Lawmakers plan to spend much of the 2013 session working on Indiana's next biennial budget. Members of the State Budget Committee continue their vetting of spending requests ahead of January's legislative session. The panel was set to meet this morning to hear from the State Budget Agency and consider requests from the Supreme Court, Indiana State Police, and Department of Corrections. Senate Appropriations Chairman Luke Kenley has told university leaders who have appeared before the panel they might need to tighten their belts through another two-year budget as questions remain about Indiana's tax collections and the state of the economy. Budget writers head into 2013 with roughly $2 billion in cash reserves and pent-up spending requests from state agencies from about the last 5 years. More than 600 provisions of the Indiana Code dealing with marriage could be impacted by a proposed constitutional amendment banning same-sex unions. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, that's according to a new report compiled by Indiana University law students and advocacy group Indiana Equality Action.
The proposed amendment, whose first step was overwhelmingly approved by the General Assembly last year, defines marriage as between a man and a woman and says that a legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized. A group of IU law students with the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Project researched how much of the Indiana Code would be affected by the amendment. And Project Executive Board Member Donald Beyer says of the 614 impacted provisions, not all are about rights denied to same-sex couples.
But also that the broader public is denied conflict of interest protections for certain business and political activities that are prohibited for opposite-sex married couples.
That includes conflict of interest rules governing precinct election officers and judges. Indiana Equality Action's Rick Sutton, whose organization is against the amendment, says the volume of affected provisions could lead to a tidal wave of lawsuits and legal challenges.
We believe that this study will serve as an ideal starting point for discussion amongst common sense Hoosiers.
Sutton says he expects the amendment to pass the legislature once again in 2013, but says he has more confidence it will fail in its final step as a ballot referendum. Cicero Republican Representative Eric Turner, the amendment's sponsor, could not be reached for comment. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
The attorney for an Indianapolis man convicted of swindling about $200 million from investors said he'll ask a judge to sentence his client to only 5 years in prison, but a probation report recommends a maximum sentence of 225 years. Timothy Durham is due to be sentenced Friday on his June convictions for securities fraud, conspiracy, and 10 counts of wire fraud in U.S. District Court in Indianapolis. Durham attorney John Tompkins told the Indianapolis Star for a story Monday that the defense believes a 5-year sentence is well supported by the law. Tompkins has argued the government caused the collapse of Durham-led Ohio-based Fair Finance by ruining its reputation. A report prepared by U.S. probation employees recommends Durham receive a maximum sentence of 225 years. And now back to Midday Matters with your host, Sean Beter.
It's a quarter till 1 o'clock. This is Midday Matters on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns and Marjorie Stevens. And this hour, we're talking about how to protect yourself during this season of giving and of spending. And Marjorie has been kind enough to stop by for the hour. Marjorie, of course, from the Better Business Bureau of Northern Indiana, to share some good tips and share the latest news on how people are trying to get their hands on our hard-earned cash. Of course, we want to hear from you this hour. The number 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on the Midday Matters Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. That's at Midday Matters. Lots of ways to get in touch with us this hour. We have a few callers on the line here. Please be patient. We'll be into the phone bank in just a moment. First, a note from Craig. Craig says, good show today. Can you say a few words about how it is that all levels of government are seemingly unable to put a stop to the Rachel from Card Services fraud phone calls that have been going on for years? Clearly, with the do not call laws that have been passed many years ago now, the intent is there to stop unwanted phone calls, to say nothing of fraudulent unwanted calls. Clearly, something is not functioning properly when those particular phone calls become so widespread and ongoing over many years, if not decades now, such that you can sit in the studio and laugh about how widespread this particular fraud has become. And this is, Marjorie, seems like one of those examples of legislation not being able to keep up with technology.
Exactly. It's kind of like the BBB not being able to keep up sometimes with the scams. I mean, it's really, really hard. They seem to be one step ahead of us. And we were talking during the break that the attorney generals across the country gathered in Washington, D.C. in October to actually talk about the Do Not Call list and the issues that they're having. 10 years ago, this worked great. 10 years later, it's not working as great, and they know it, and they want to find ways that they can help people. So believe me, there is something being done. They are working on it. We just haven't quite found that solution yet. But I have all the faith that they will.
And Greg, we appreciate your note here. We actually have a caller on the line here. Actually, several callers. Let's open up the phones and go to, who do we have? We have David on line. Well, it looks like David has left us, unfortunately. David, if you care to give us a call back, we'll try to get you on the air here. Let's go now to Ralph. Ralph, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon, Sean. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine.
Well, really, you just now dealt with the question I have. I have two questions about Rachel. The first is why, you know, and maybe the Do Not Call list isn't working, but isn't there technology that the call can be traced and the location can be found where from these calls are emanating? There's call tracing. Why can't that location be found?
And let me put that question first to Marjorie here. Of course, you know, I think a lot of folks are familiar with the once prominent Star 69, where you could trace calls back. Of course,
right.
Law enforcement has tracing capability as well, but it gets a little muddy when you get into this.
It does. It's Ralph. It's a little bit sticky. Basically, they're computerized auto dialers. So as soon as they take one down, another one pops up. When you send a robocall, you can send literally tens of thousands of calls at the same time. And even though there are people that are keeping an eye on that and shutting these down, 5 minutes later, they can be right back at it again. And that is the problem that the government, the Do Not Call, is trying to work out now.
Well, I have a follow-up question on that. I have at times responded to the call. I really don't have anything worth stealing, so you know it's not a big deal for me. But when you do press one, you do get a bank. You get a person that you talk to, and there is a $6,000 debt load requirement that you have to have in order to get this special interest rate reduction. Now, why can't we find those live people that are, and they always hang up on me eventually because I don't have enough. I give them my account numbers and they can go and check to see how much debt I have, which is not very much, and there's not very big credit line there, so it's not really a matter of concern to me. But they hang up on me.
Ralph, the people that you're talking to are most likely not even in the United States of America. Most of them reside somewhere outside the United States, which also makes the tracking harder. And I don't know if you heard in the first segment, I want you to understand that if you get a call like this from Rachel or from a bank, you need to hang up. If they tell you to press a number, don't press it, because your number will automatically be put on a hot list to give them more reasons to call you later. We also used to suggest to people, do not, try to get the information that you can from the people. Don't engage in telephone conversations now with people that you don't know. And by all means, do not give any type of personal information out over the phone to someone that you don't know. Whether they say, even if it's, they say they're your bank, they can sound very legitimate, but you must hang up, take their number, call your bank and say, did you call me about this? And I can guarantee you 99.9% of the time they are going to say, no, we have nothing like that going on.
And Marjorie, with a situation like Ralph's where he's offering them his bank information, are there ways that can go awry even though he has a low credit limit and not much in there?
If you have any money and you're giving them your actual, you know, bank routing number or account number, Ralph, you're in trouble. You could actually have that money taken out. So you really do need to be careful. Don't engage these people.
Thank you, Marjorie.
Okay, thank you.
Ralph, we appreciate the call and have a very good day.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. The number 260-452-1185. If you want to share your story or if you have a question or comment, maybe some tips to share with our listeners. We have one more caller on the line and then a Facebook post to get to here as well. We have Marlis, who's been very patient. Good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, I was just calling in kind of response to the gentleman who called in and asked, what do you do with people who want help along the side of the road, especially at Christmas time, so that you're not scammed by them? My daughter and I we make up bags, like lunch bags, size paper bags, and from all these you can get small hams, and we put in some kind of fruit that has a pull tab, and lately I've bought the family size chips and cookies, and we put one of each of those in.
Oh.
And so when we see somebody beside the side of the road that needs food or we just hand them a bag, and if you want to put the Christmas gospel in or something else in there, you can too.
Marlis, that sounds like a fantastic suggestion. We thank you very much.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Of course, as we mentioned at the top of the show, you don't always have to give money on this Giving Tuesday or any other day of the week. There are lots of other ways to keep yourself safe and help the community as well. And we do want to remind our listeners they can get in touch with us this hour. We're always on Facebook. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. And, of course, you can email us middaymatters@nipr.fm. Marlis, that was a great suggestion. Thank you very much. One more comment here from Holly Joe on our Facebook page. Holly Joe says, I use Mr. Number, an app for spam calls on my cell phone. Once you get a call from a scammer or anybody else for that matter, Mr. Number gives you the option to save the number as spam. They give you a couple different options when receiving scam calls, my favorite being the pick up and hang up feature. From then on, the phone will ring once, then Mr. Number answers and disconnects the call. You also have the option to send the call to your voicemail, but I don't care to do that. Folks, Marjorie, are getting pretty creative in fighting back here.
It is, Holly. That's great. I actually am going to take that back to work with me. And,
we'll check out that Mr. Number.
Yeah, so thank you.
And just as a note, following up on Eric and now Holly Joe, while I've been sitting here on the show, I just now got a spam text on my phone.
They're on to you.
So it's out there.
Well, we do have just about 5 minutes left in the program. We've barely been able to touch on some of the retail side of things here. But before we have to get on to fresh air here, Marjorie, we were talking over one of the breaks here about gift cards and how dicey gift cards can be, especially in the season where folks want to spend, $40-some-odd billion on them in this holiday season.
Yeah, this is a really interesting thing. $41 billion in gift cards went unused from the years 2005 to 2011. That adds up to about $6 billion a year that retailers are keeping because people are not using their gift cards. And I forget what the percentage is, but there's actually 10 months after the gift card was given, the people still had not used it.
Hmm.
They lose it, they forget about it, they put it in their drawer, don't think about it. But there is a credit card accountability, responsibility, and Disclosure Act called CARD that took effect in 2010, and it applies to gift certificates, gift cards, general use prepaid cards, which are branded by payment networks such as Visa or MasterCard. Consumers now have at least 12 months, a full year, to use the cards before they lose value. The cards keep their value for 5 years after purchase or from when you last added money to them. Now, there are some things that the CARD Act did not cover, so we'll make this real quick. Users can still charge fees every time you use a card, check the balance, or ask for a replacement card. They can even charge you for calling customer service. Before buying a credit card, consider this. There's no limit on monthly fees a company can charge after a card has been inactive for a year. The user has to tell you about it, so you need to ask that when you buy a gift card. The actual card may expire before the 5-year redemption period for a card. In other words, if the card is expired but still has value, you may have to ask and possibly pay for a new card. So you need to look for expiration dates when you buy cards. And should I give one more and then we're done, or are we running out of time?
I think we have time for one more, and then we have a quick note from Craig, who wrote in earlier as well.
Okay, just basically, you need to check with the person issuing the card first all of the, what I want to say, the terms of the agreement. And you should actually give the person that you're purchasing the gift card for the receipt, so that if they go in to have the gift card done, they will have something to prove that it was purchased.
So wait, you're saying we have to read the fine print?
Yes, you do. Return policies and everything, yes.
Oh, my, oh, my.
Okay. And then some of them are good for using online and some aren't, as
yes,
I understand it?
Yes, if there are bank-issued cards such as MasterCard or Visa, yes, those are under the CARD Act.
CARD Act.
I did want to get to a quick note. We've been talking about how to protect ourselves from folks who want to grab some cash or steal our identities here. Craig has a suggestion. He recommends that folks obtain a free copy of a credit report annually from the credit reporting agencies, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, to see if you have any questionable inquiries show up there. He also recommends that folks can freeze those credit reports as well if they think there's been some trouble.
Yes, that's actually through the Attorney General's office. So if you needed more information on that, please call the BBB, because we do have an information sheet that we can send to you with different phone numbers. If you go online for the your credit report, it's www.annualcreditreport.com, not freecreditreport.com.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of folks get confused, rightfully so. There are a lot of commercials out there talking about these services that you end up having to pay for, even though they say they're free. Yeah. One more time, unfortunately, we don't have time for any more calls or notes here, but one more time, how can folks get in touch with the Better Business Bureau if they want more information or if they want to report some trouble?
Okay, you can call us toll-free at 1-800-552-4631, locally 260-423-4433, or if you want to go online yourself and look up a company or whatever, go to bbb.org.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this program. Marjorie Stevens, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
It's always fun, and we'll put the Better Business Bureau website on our Facebook page as well in case folks want to take a look at that. Susan, thank you very much for being with us once again.
And thank you, Sean.
Thanks to our listeners. Lots of great comments and questions today. Keep them coming. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios. It's 89.1 HD Channel 1. This is WBOI Fort Wayne. We're coming up on 1 o'clock.